This is your spot.
No, no, I'm fine.
No, it's your spot.
Not my spot.
Yes, it's mine.
So we're going to start Siman Tzadi Dalet. In Siman Tzadi Dalet, there are a lot of yesoidos in halacha and also in lomdus of what exactly is how bliyas work and how basar b'cholov works. So let's hopefully we'll get to the sugi. Chamek tzasa cham kule is the first sugi, but there's a few ha'aris before that. So the Shulchan Aruch says like this in Siman Tzadi Dalet. Ha'toichiv kaf chilavis. You take a milchik spoon, b'kader shal basar, into a cholent or chicken soup or whatever, oy ipcha. So let's take the case of the milchik spoon that you dipped into the chicken soup. So, misharim b'kol mashad nitchav mimenu b'kadera. So how do you measure how much you need 60 against the flavor coming out of the spoon in the soup? Are they less than 60 with aser? So how do you measure what's in the spoon? So first of all, the Rama says imakaf ben yoimoy dainu shishim shuboy beklirishun toch meislei. So first of all, you have to know how much flavor is in the spoon. You only count the flavor of the meat, of the milk that was used with hot within the last 24 hours. So it's only whatever was used within the last 24 hours. Okay? So any milk that was used within, if it was used for hot milchiks within the last 24 hours, that's as much bliyas that you have. Now what happens if you, if it was washed in water, if it was a dishwasher, does that refresh in the bliyas or not? We talked about, let's say you cooked it with pariv in between. So within the last 24 hours, you used the milchik spoon or the for pariv, but you didn't, what? So, why isn't it hagala? It's not hagala, let's say, because maybe it's less than roischim. It's just yatzaladis boy. Right. So what happens is that we have a double assumption. On the one end, we have to assume that some of the bliyas came out, but we also have to assume some of the bliyas stayed in. So the bliyas that came out, mimar shach, you still count the 24 hours from when you used the milchik, not from when you used it with the pyre. Why? Because mimar shach, the bliyas that stayed in, they stayed in the wall for 24 hours, they're pogum now. They don't taste good anymore. The assumption in Chazal is that in order for a bliya to lose its flavor, it has to stay in the kli for 24 hours straight. It's not a cumulative 24 hours. So if it stayed 12 hours, then it came out and went back in, it starts the clock ticking again. So it's only a 24 hours consecutive period of time that would make the bliya pogum. So what happens is that the bliya that stayed in, the milchik flavor that stayed in the whole time, so it passed 24 hours when you used it. The milchik flavor that came out of the pot and went back in is now a tam sheni. It's not barnat, right? Because we're going to learn more about not barnat, but the concept is it went out of the pot into the water and back in. So now it weakened its potency, so it's not barnat, so it's mutter anyway. So regardless, it wouldn't start the clock ticking again from when you used it with the pariv, and you would only start the clock ticking from when you used it with the milchik. It's kedai to note that that's only by milk. But if you have a treif spoon, then the treif spoon, and then you cooked it within 24 hours in pariv, then you would start the clock ticking from when you used it with the pariv. Because treif is different than milchik. Because treif, when it goes back in, it ostered all the water.
Isn't that what's happening though with this milk?
You don't say no, because milk doesn't oster water.
No, I'm saying with in this fleshy pot that it's not.
No, because milk doesn't do anything to the water that it was cooked in. So it comes out, it comes back in. But the flavor of the iser makes all the what's it called, the oster.
But by trade, you have shishim in the part that you cook.
So the Shach says in Sifkaton Beis that if there was shishim inside the pariv, then it would be fine, right? Yeah, because what happens is the bliya went out of the pot. Whatever went out of the pot became batel b'shishim. Whatever stayed in the pot is already pogum.
Is it like what we said about the wine and the water?
Again, tachanan. Now that Shach, by the way, this is a very complicated Rebbe Kivager. It's Kedai, Kedishmaka Rebbe Kivager. I don't want to lose everyone with that Rebbe Kivager. But it's a very Gishmaka Rebbe Kivager on that Shach that he asks. Should we go for it or we shouldn't go for it?
Yeah, do it.
What?
Just come back afterwards.
Okay, we'll do it. So, Rabbi Kiveger is like this. Rabbi Kiveger says like this. He says, he makes a cheshbon. He says, you have a flesh, again, you have a treif spoon, and you used it at 9 a.m. on Monday. Then at noon, you used the treif spoon to cook up water, to mix some water. Now you want to know, it's 10 a.m. the following morning, is it ben yoimoy, is it any ben yoimoy? 24 hours passed when you used it for the flesh, for the treif, but it's still within 24 hours of when you used it with the water. So is it ben yoimoy, or is it any ben yoimoy? So what do we say? Now, when you used it with the water, there was more than 60 times the spoon in the water. So now you would say mimanofshach. You would say like this. The flavor that came out of the pot of the spoon, the flavor that came out of the spoon, went into the water, became batel. The flavor that stayed in the spoon, is more than 24 hours. So l'chara, it should be fine, right? Says Rabbi Kiveger, hold on. It's a two-way street. Okay, water, there was a pot of water and a treif spoon. So l'chara is a two-way street. The flavor from the spoon went into the water, but there's also flavor of the water that went into the spoon, right? Now, when you take that spoon out of the water now, in this spoon, right, at 12:01, when you took the spoon out of the water, in that spoon right now, there's fleishik, there's treif chazer blias, there's also water blias. Those water blias that are in the spoon, not in the pot, became chanan now. So now there's new water blias that came into the spoon at 12:01 that now became usher at 12:01 because they became chanan at 12:01. So those are now, you should start the clock ticking from 12 o'clock, not from 9, because now you have new chanan water that went into the spoon, and therefore the clock should start ticking again from there. Was that correct, Rabbi Kiveger? So, in a chanami, the flavor that came out of the spoon, into the water is batal. The flavor of the treif in the spoon is also batal. But the flavor of the water that went into the spoon is fresh. And that's also because of chanan. Because remember, we hold that the water that gets flavor from the spoon is also aser itself. Not just water, it's treif water now. So, you should say chanan.
So, does he not hold a tam risheni then?
No, but you don't say tam risheni by iser, only by milk and meat, but not by treif.
There was
shishim in the water, but there's not shishim in the spoon, because once you take it out of this thing, it's not makusher anymore with this water in the pot. So it's only the water in the spoon. Because the water in the spoon is there's no shishim, and the water in the spoon can connect the treif in the spoon. It's only the water in the pot that's shishim.
At what point is it going to become chanan?
When you take it out,
if you take it out
and it's still got tzolad, this boy, yeah, it's a clear ishin.
But the amount has not changed.
The amount in the pot is more than the amount in the spoon. It's 60 times, but the amount of the water in the spoon is not more than 60 times the amount of treif in the spoon. So then it's for sure aser. So very effective, Kiveger Akasha. The lechora, why is the shach saying if there's more, like Josh said, if there's more than 60 times in the pot of water against the spoon is fine. L'chor, it's not true because the water went into the spoon.
We do.
The bli is in the kale. This is a bomb kasha. There's a frick to Kiveger. Kiveger says a major yisoid from here. It doesn't help because it didn't kasher it. It wasn't agala. So Kiveger says a major yisoid over here that in Chanan, we always say that the item which became Chanan cannot become more chomer than the iser itself. You're never going to make the water more chomer than the thing that asked the water. So since the thing that asked the water expires at 9 o'clock, the iser that came from the water cannot have a longer lifespan than the iser itself. So therefore, the iser which became from the water can only be as asr as the as the iser itself. So, Kiveger's chiddush
here. If normally, if it asks my chicken soup, it asks it forever. You don't say that when the
blias
come out of.
No, I understand. So good, but
why is that? Why are you saying?
Okay, you're saying in Lomdus you don't hear why you say ananasa on pogum.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I don't wanna, that's Rabbi Kiveger's chiddush right here. So anyway, that's a geshmak Rabbi Kiveger. Okay.
If you say
the
same thing,
less than shishim in the pot. Then there's nothing to talk about. Then the whole water became chanan.
So it goes out.
No, but then
it goes out and as it goes into the water.
walls of the new clean.
No, but once the bleah comes out, its clock starts ticking also.
Because
there's chanan, and the isser also starts getting the 24 hours. Because the bleah that came out, it gets a new 24 hours. Yeah. Yeah.
It only gets a new 24 hours, but there's a chanan.
Yeah, fine. But that's fine. Okay, that's Rabbi Kivager over here. If you want to take a look at it, it's on the Shachs of Katzen Beis. It's amazing, Rabbi Kivager. Okay? And it's good because we're Yotze keeping up our streak of mentioning Rabbi Kivager in every shir. Okay. Now, the Etzem Halacha that the Ramah says over, that the Mechaber said over here is, this is that was a nice knitch, but let's talk about the Etzem Halacha. The Halacha itself. What did the Mechaber say? The Mechaber said that if you stick a spoon, okay, into a pot, you have a milk spoon and you stuck it into the pot. It's a big spoon, right? It's a ladle, it's a big spoon. There is no shishim in the pot against the spoon, against the whole volume of the spoon. If you include the handle and you include the whole spoon, there is no shishim in the pot against the spoon. But you think, hey, 1 second, I didn't stick the whole spoon into the pot. I only stuck the tip of the spoon into the pot. I stirred it a little bit with the tip of the spoon. So how much flavor goes from the spoon into the pot? Does the flavor from the entire spoon go into the pot? Only the part of the spoon that you stuck into the pot go into the pot? This is a shaila called cham miktsasoi, cham kuloi. Do you say that if some of it got hot and some of it was able to give bleah's flavor out, then all of it is able to? Or do you say it only takes out the flavor from the part that it came in contact with? You hear the shaila? So the Mechaber said that it's only the part that went in. Then he says at the end of the sif, v'yesh mishoimer shim akav shomateches, if it's metal, so metal conducts heat, therefore misharim bekuloi. Cham miktsasoi cham kuloi. Some say that you actually have to mishar, including the handle. The 60 has to include the entire volume of the spoon. And the Ramah says, sorry, shoni ikra, we don't say cham miktsasoi cham kuloi. We say it's only hot where it became hot, and that's it. Only the point of contact, nothing else matters.
Isn't there a time factor? It was 10 seconds and it was 10 minutes.
So maybe according to the...
like the 3 second rule.
Maybe according to the Prima Gaudium, there's a time factor, and let me explain. We'll get to that. So it's a good point.
I was just saying, so if Dover, you're holding by the handle.
Okay, so one second. So let's get to that.
Maybe it's because as far, if you leave it in there for 10 minutes, you couldn't hold the handle.
Okay, so let's get to that. So it's like this. So the Ramah says, we do not say the principle of cham miktsasoi cham kuloi. We don't say that if a little bit is hot, the whole thing out. We don't say that. It's only the point of contact, period. And the Shach in Sifkatan Gimel says the Mechaber also holds like that. Even though the Mechaber brought two shitas, the Ikra is like the first Deya as well. Okay, so all the Mefarshim, when I say all the Mefarshim, Reb Kivager, Chavos Das, Prima Gaudium, Shach, Taz, Magen Avraham, Mishneh Berurah, Pischei Tshuva, Panim Meiris, everybody asks a very straightforward question, which is that there is a direct contradiction between this sif and what we learned before. In this sif, we say that the only time, the only place that the bleah comes out of the spoon is that the flavor travels only from the pot, the part that's hot, only the part that's in contact with the food. And the milk from the top of the pot doesn't go in the top of the spoon. The milk from the top of the spoon doesn't go into the chicken soup. It's only the part that you, the tip that you dipped into the spoon, the soup. So frecht everybody, but didn't we have an open simen in Shulchan Aruch? Not like that. Because we talked about, for a couple weeks, about the tipas chalav case, right? You have a pot of chicken soup cooking on the stove, and a drop of milk falls on the side of the pot. Remember we talked about that? And we talked about if it fell connected the right div or on top of the pot, where it fell. And we discussed that if it fell on top of the pot, where does that milk go? Does it stay where it was or does it travel around? And you have to make a radius 60 times 60. And how far does that milk travel? So in fact, everyone wondering, well, why does milk go anywhere? It goes and that's it. It stays right where it is. You're telling me that only the part of the milk that's in the top of the spoon doesn't come out. It stays right where it is. It doesn't go into the chicken soup. So how come the milk that hit the top of the pot is going into the food in the bottom of the pot? It's the exact same thing. You have a spoon that has milk flavor on top and we say, no, no, that's not going into the chicken soup. But if you have right now a pot and milk hits the top, we say, no, maybe it did go into the chicken soup. What's between a pot and a spoon? It's a bomb kasha. As I frecked everybody, it's an open stira in the Shulchan Aruch. That the Shulchan Aruch says, if there's flavor on the top of the spoon, it doesn't go into the chicken soup. And yet, if there's flavor on the top of the pot, it does. What's the difference? Good? Clear question? Good. So, Achronim say three mahalchim to answer this question. The three mahalchim are like this. Let's start with the Prima Gadim. So the Prima Gadim says, very simple. The Prima Gadim says that, and again, I think this is Rabbi Kiviger in Tafnun Alf and Hilchos Pesach says the same thing. And by the way, this is Nagia, tons and tons of different applications, okay? Because I'll give you a very simple application where it's the Nagia. What about kashering? If you would say Cham Ktsasoi Cham Kuloi, and that when you dip the spoon into this chicken soup and the tip goes in, and now all the flavor from the entire spoon goes out, would you be able to kasher a spoon that way? Maybe when you have a treif spoon, just pour a little water on the edge and all the flavor comes out. So for kashering, do you actually have to kasher the whole thing, or is it enough to kasher with the mechanism of Cham Ktsasoi Cham Kuloi?
Meaning it's a kula in this.
It could be a kula and a chumra. Another example, what happens if, as I'm stirring the soup, if you say Cham Ktsasoi Cham Kuloi, that the bli has come out, what happens if as I'm taking this parv spoon, and I'm stirring this fleishika soup, what happens if milk hits the top of the spoon? Does that hit, what's the deal with that? Does it even go into the top of the spoon? If it goes into the top of the spoon, does it go into the chalent? What's going to happen with that? There was a book, it was a book that was making fun of Yeshiva Bachram. And it was all sorts of shilas that come, that come up from if you're like a bunch of guys, the guys that are living in the Dira, in Eretz Yisrael, like all different shilas that could come up, you know, like if milk is sitting on the counter for 2 weeks, does it make the counter milchik, you know? Right. So the guy said, when I was having my chul on Thursday night, I ate it with this side of my glasses, and then I dipped my, and then I stirred my coffee with this side of my glasses. My glasses treif. So what do you say? Does the flavor travel? Does it not travel? Right? So the Prima Gadim says, and that's Rabbi Kiva Eiger, and I think Mishnah Berurah, that the truth is that it depends. Like you were saying, if the top of the spoon became hot, then we say that the flavor actually travels up and down. So the case of the Mecha, it's not a contradiction at all. Very simple answer. In the case of the Shulchan Aruch that we're learning today, with the spoon, the Mechik spoon, you know why you only have to measure against the part of the spoon that went into the soup? Because the top of the spoon is still cold. Like you're saying, I'll bring you proof it's cold. You're still holding it.
Cham Ktsasoi Cham Kuloi.
Cham Ktsasoi. No. Cham Ktsasoi Cham Kuloi means if it is hot, then it has a din that it will be able to bring the bliyas back and forth.
But it's not hot.
But it's not hot. As opposed to the case in Sadi Bey's with the Tipas Cholov, the top of the pot is hot. The top of the pot is hot because it's not sitting on the fire. So then the flavor of taka travels freely back and forth. So this is the answer of the Prima Gadim. You can thank me later, because if you look at the Prima Gadim Mishpatis Alf, it's about four columns, and I'm giving it to you in one set in 5 minutes. So, you know, I took away some of your amelos, but at least you got the Prima Gadim. So the Prima Gadim says that all has to do with how hot it is. Okay? Is it taka, if it's taka hot, then the bliyas will travel freely from top to bottom. If not, not. Okay. But it would come out, a big kula, according to this, that, like I said before, l'cha'ira, you'd be able to kasher a spoon by pouring enough hot water on it that it would end up making the top of the spoon hot. And sometimes that happens, right? Because it conducts heat pretty quickly. So you pour water into the top of the spoon, into the bottom of the spoon, the top of the spoon is going to be fine. Couldn't be kosher. What?
Ira. Ira and half is going to kosher.
Ira and half would kosher the if it got hot. Yeah. The mug in Avram, the, oh, I forgot to bring it. Chel K. Mishabura? Yeah, is it? What? So, the mug in Avram, the mug in Avram says like this. He says a little differently. Mug in Avram says that he asks a question. The Lechoira, he asks a question. Shkoyach. Hey, yeah. So it's Taf Nun Aleph, Sif Yud Beis. Kol HaKelum Tzarch Lahagil Yudisein Kamoisam. Hilchos Pesach says the Mechaber that when you have a kli, you have to kasher the handle. Okay, let's take a spoon. Let's assume that the kelim, that the handles, are part of the kli. Nowadays, most kelim, the handles are like a separate piece and they're like bolted on. Let's assume, just for clarity purposes, because Mekveger is Mechalik, let's just keep it simple. It's one long, like a spoon. It's one handle. Says the Mishnah, you have to kasher the side. You have to kasher the handle. So what are we talking about? So the Magen Avraham asks this question. Why have to kasher the handle? How did the handle become treif to begin with? Only because the flavor went up, right? From, you didn't stick the handle into the soup. So how did the flavor become, how did the handle become treif in the first place? Or fleishik in the chametz in the first place? Because you stirred your chalent with it. So the flavor went up from the chalent into the handle. So why can't you kasher it by pouring water onto the handle? Why do you have to pour water? Why do you have to pour water on the handle? Why can't you just dip the spoon, however much you used in the first place, dip that into the pot? Why do you have to kasher the handle for? That's the Magen Avraham's kasha. So Magen Avraham proves from here, interesting principle. Magen Avraham proves from here that cham miktsas cham kulay only works one way, not the other way. It works that the blia, the flavor, travels through the entire pot. So a flavor coming in will go through the entire pot or the entire spoon. So when you stick a spoon, an innocent little spoon, into chalent, that barley chametz flavor will go all the way to the handle. And now,
even though you could still hold it.
Yeah, nothing to a hot. It's cham miktsas cham kulay, like you said. It has a din of cham. And therefore the chalent flavor, the barley, will go up to the top. But it doesn't take flavor out of the whole kli. It only takes flavor out of the part that it's in. So the flavor can travel through the whole kli, but to pull the flavor out of the kli, it's only the part that's in the water right now.
It's enough to push it into the whole kli.
But yeah, correct. Now, that's the no, major nafkamina. So first of all, according to Magen Avraham, he answers up the steer between our siman and Sadi Beis. In Sadi Beis, we're talking that the milk flavor hit the top of the pot. Where'd it go? Yeah, it went to the whole pot. Because flavor goes to the whole pot. But now here we're talking about where the flavor came out from. It's only the part of the pot that, it's only the tip of the spoon that came into in contact with the chicken soup. Not the whole entire soup. Okay?
So what changes with your koshering abilities? Do you only have to kosher tip, or do you only have to kosher the
whole? That's what he's saying. That's why to kosher, it became, the whole spoon became chametz dik. But to kosher, you have to actually kosher the entire thing. You can't just stick the top into the water, because putting this top in the water is not going to pull the blia out of this top. The only way to pull the blia out of the top is sticking the top into the, you have to kosher the whole handle.
So what are you getting that doesn't give off flavor?
That's what we're saying. When it comes to here, koshering, or to how much to mishire in your shishim, you're only mishire in the shishim against the tip, right? Now, okay. So what's the big nafkamina? There's a major nafkamina here. It doesn't come out.
The same way if you have a drop that hits the top of the pot, of course the top comes out the bottom.
We didn't say it comes out. It spreads to the whole bottom. So that's the prima gavna's kasha. Does it come out next time, or does it come out in this time? Meaning, it doesn't sound like we're saying that the prima gavna doesn't understand exactly that chiluk that you're saying. Because if it came out, but it doesn't pull it out, so then what do you mean in Sadi Beis? Why are we choshesh that maybe hit the bottom, and how does that work? I'm not gonna. But this is the etzem chiluk of the Magen Avraham. So it comes out a very, very big nafkamina between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah and the prima gavna, Reb Kiveger, everyone else. You have a spoon that was used for chalent. The top of the spoon now is chametz. It's Erev Pesach, you don't have any spoons around. The question is, can you take the top of the spoon, the handle, and mix your Pesach dik spoon, chalent, Pesach dik chalent with that top of the spoon? According to the Magen Avraham, if you do that, it's treif, it's chametz. According to Prima Gavna, if the top of the spoon never got hot, it's not a problem. The blia never went up there. Number two nafkamina. Let's say the blia actually did go up there. let's say it did get hot once, but according to the Mishnah Berurah, let's say you kashered the tip of the spoon enough that the top got hot, it's kosher. According to the Magen Avraham, only the tip of the spoon is kosher. But in order to kasher the handle, if you stick the handle in, you have to kasher the handle itself. So there's a big nafkaminas over here, okay? I think that the Mishnah Berurah paskins more like the Rikveger and the Magen Avraham. He doesn't say the Magen Avraham. He doesn't make this chiluk. And he says beferish, this halacha, that avol biyadush nishtam shal yadot b'chametz l'sagi b'hech shemaktsos ha'fil b'di'evin, which I think is Valkane ain't afkamin and bainim nishtam shal. Yeah, I think he's saying no matter what, even if you use the bottom, it's a problem. So I think he's like more machmir on that. This is the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah's Magen Avraham and the Prima Gadim. Okay, so two mahachim had to answer this question. There's a third answer which the Pesachei Tshuva here brings down. There's a third mahalach over here. The third mahalach is the Shach in Yerideya. In Kuf Chaf Aleph, that the Shach basically says there's no such thing as Chametz Hasacham Kula. It doesn't like the whole principle. And it's only Nogea to one thing, which is that if you, it becomes hot enough that if something actually hit the top, it's considered hot and it would be considered Boilea. But it's not enough that it comes in, out, the flavor stays where it is, basically. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you a question because everything we're doing this man boils down to the original machlokes Ri and Rashi. Remember the original machlokes, the Ri and the Rashi. Our favorite case: you have a pot of chalent, and the piece of meat is half in and half out. Remember the half in, half out, right? So this is the machlokes Ri and Rashi. According to Rashi, if it's half out, that's it. Whatever, even if cheese hits the top of the piece, it doesn't go into the soup. But according to the Ri, we passing like the Ri. If a piece of milk would hit the top of the meat, then it goes straight through, and you could even use the whole soup to mevatel it, and the whole piece is kosher, and whatever, right? The Ramah has to be machmer on the piece, fine. So, frekt, the Prima Gadin, it's a stira between this sif and the Ri. The Ri says that if you have milk on the top of the piece of meat, it goes through into the soup. And here we're saying that the milk that's in the top of the spoon does not go into the soup. So, what's pshat? What's the chilek?
And if it's too, it's depending on the heat of the spoon.
No, but the meat is hot there. So obviously, which I don't know exactly why, but obviously you have to say that the chilek is. Food works differently than a pot.
It's the first time we're saying this here.
So this, if that was a true chiluk, then we would have said that since day one.
We always do. We can't kosher food. We can kosher
it. You need the same amount.
Yeah, but it's the opposite type of svara. It stays more in the food. You're right. They work differently. Basically, food is softer, and therefore, the food, it's more posh. It's more logical to assume that when some of the food is in the water, the simple assumption is that really the water is cooking the top of the food too. You don't just say, well, the top is cooked, the bottom is cooked, the top is not. Right?
So you can apply Chanan to Blios and Kalim, but you can't say that it's the Blios and Kalim in this.
It's still different. The Blios and Kalim is still different than the Blios in in food, right? So basically, what we're saying is, when it comes to food, everyone agrees that the Ri holds, and we hold that if there's flavor in the top of the food, the flavor in the top of the food will actually exit through the bottom. But by Kli, we're saying not like that. That if there's flavor in the top of the Kli, it will not exit through the bottom.
So what happens according to the Ri, when the drop milk falls on the side of the pot, does that, it should not go through, it should stay where it's
You
at?
Want to know, according to the Ri, well, no, that's a kli, so it's
just. But we say that it goes through to the stuff inside the rotev, and we do measure.
Can I get it right
then? So, but according
you're
to
right. The, I mean, you're okay.
Go,
that's
go to the rotev.
Okay. So that's probably why that sif is inside Ibez. That's the connection there. But you're right. I mean, we're saying according to what we're saying now, kli is different than food.
According to the Ri, we should say that this ladle is hana, because because the milk is there from before. It's like the piece that's on top. All that's on top of the pieces on top.
But we're saying it's not. We're saying because we're saying kalim work differently than food. No, so he's saying that, the blia in the top of the spoon is not going to hit into the chicken soup. So you only have to mishire the 60 against the part of the spoon that went into the kli.
And according to the media, if milk would fall on top of piece of meat that's out of the soup, like on top of the top pieces,
half,
right? And then that piece comes on out.
Right? Actually, it doesn't necessarily.
No, he's saying if it's completely out of the way.
Oh, it's completely out, yeah.
Right, it becomes chanan. So then once it goes in, it should...
You do, but that's nothing to do with this. That's true. If the milk hit the top of the piece that's completely out of the roitz, if that piece is chanan, and if you mix it up, you need 60 against the piece. Yeah.
This is the same thing. It's just with the
kli,
not a piece of meat.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Meaning. Oh, mean. Well, the nafkamina would be according to the Magen Avraham, really. That if you took this milchik spoon. Let's speak that out. If you took this milk spoon and stuck the tip into the chicken soup, even though the chicken soup is fine, but the entire spoon is treif now. You would have to kasha the whole spoon. Right. You would have to kasha the whole spoon now because even though only a little bit of milk went into the chicken soup, but the whole chicken soup went into the whole spoon. It doesn't, right? So in a chanami. Okay? So I think that's pretty much Sif Aleph. What? Next Sibbeis? Yeah, Sibbeis will be fun. Okay. If you learn the tour, so you see the different Rishonim. So this is a machlokes between Rabbeinu Peretz and the Rashba. This is a machlokes not just here. This is a machlokes in Hechsher Kalim. It's a machlokes from the Gemara in Zvachim. So if you see all the Rishonim, you'll see there's two Shitas. All right? Okay, so we'll stop here, everyone.